Okay, so now we're reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, 24, Text 65. Sa esha lokan ati chandavego. Vikarshasi tvam kalu kalayanaha. Bhutani bhutar anumeya tatpo. Khanavalir vayur diva visayaha. This is Lord Shiva continuing his glorious prayers. My dear Lord, your absolute authority cannot be directly experienced, but one can guess by seeing the activities of the world. One can guess by seeing the activities of the world that everything is being destroyed in due course of time. The force of time is very strong, and everything is being destroyed by something else. Just as one animal is being eaten by another animal, time scatters everything exactly as the wind scatters clouds in the sky. Please repeat. My dear Lord, your absolute authority cannot be directly experienced, but one can guess by seeing the activities of the world that everything is being destroyed in due course of time. The force of time is very strong, and everything is being destroyed by something else. Just as one animal is being eaten by another animal, time scatters everything exactly as the wind scatters clouds in the sky. My Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The process of destruction is going on according to the law of nature. Nothing within this material world can be permanent, although scientists, philosophers, workers, and everyone else are trying to make things permanent. One foolish scientist recently declared that eventually life will be made permanent through science. Some so-called scientists are also trying to manufacture living entities within the laboratory. Thus, in one way or another, everyone is busy denying the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and rejecting the supreme authority of the Lord. However, the Lord is so powerful that he destroys everything in the form of death. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarva Haras Chaham, I am all-devouring death. The Lord is just like death to the atheists, for he takes away everything they accumulate in the material world. Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad, always denied the existence of the Lord, and he tried to kill his 5-year-old boy due to the boy's unflinching faith in God. However, in due course of time, the Lord appeared as Nrsingadev and killed Hiranyakashipu in the presence of his son. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.47, this killing process is natural. Who knows the verse? What did Narada Muni tell Yudhishthira when he was lamenting? In his famous verse, Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. One animal is food for another animal. Of course, it doesn't sound very comforting, does it? But it was his way of giving. We'll talk of that a little bit later. In this way, the process of destruction goes on by the supreme will of the Lord. Although we do not see the hand of the Supreme Lord directly, we can feel the presence of that hand through the Lord's process of destruction. We can see the clouds scattered by the wind, although we cannot see how this is being done, because it is not possible to see the wind. Similarly, although we do not directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can see that he controls the process of destruction. The destructive process is going on fiercely under the control of the Lord, but the atheists cannot see it. Om Agyana Timirandasya Ginanjana Sulakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torch light of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Anchakalpa tarupyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanan bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasa Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'd like to ask the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, especially my elevated God sisters, that I can say something useful, at least not something that will deviate from the Siddhanta that Prabhupada has presented. In this purport, we find that there's different, Prabhupada discusses different approaches to the phenomenon of destruction. And he talks about Krishna's view, about how the devotees view it, of course the scientific approach, and then we'll talk a little bit about the importance of being aware of this destruction and what the solution to that destruction is. Prabhupada comments in the beginning that everyone is searching after this permanent life. And of course that brings to mind, where does this quest for permanent life come from? If we're just merely a combination, a random combination of chemicals, why do we want to live permanently? That's a question that would should naturally arise in a philosophical mind. Prabhupada was saying that even though persons don't take to this philosophical approach very strongly, still the scientists are claiming that they will eventually create life, a permanent life through science. Yeah, I was remembering how scientists try to reduce all the workings of nature to some kind of mathematical equation. And I remembered in the Origins magazine in an article called Big Questions about the Big Bang. I think Sariputta wrote it, and he said, looking at the complex phenomena that confront any observer of the universe, scientists insist that the universe can be completely described by simple mathematical laws. We hope to explain the entire universe in a single, simple formula that you can wear on your t-shirt, says Leon Lederman, director of the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory in Batavia, wherever that is, Illinois. So that's what he says. And so what's the use of that? So what? And that's what we learned in college. When you write something, people are going to think, what's in it for me, and so what? So if you reduce the universe to a mathematical equation, what's in it for me? Not very much. Perhaps for the scientists, they feel they have a little more control over the universe, and that's what's in it for them. Yeah, that's that they want to manipulate and control. And in other words, they want to create the kingdom of God without God. Get God out of the way, and guess who takes his place? But Prabhupada explains that although materialists want to avoid God in their equation of how to solve the mysteries of life, God doesn't forget about them. He's actually very merciful. And if they're not willing to experience him in his blissful future, he actually mercifully allows them to experience him as death. And to even further impress this power that Krishna has, he showed the universal form to Arjuna. Because Arjuna was having a hard time digesting this universal form, and he offered very wonderful prayers. And in one of the prayers, he said, "O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord, and I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. Why does the Lord appear in such a terrible form?" And the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Time I am, the great destroyer of all the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people." With the exception of the Pandavas, You, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. So if anyone is not able to take advantage of the supreme shelter that's offered by the Lord, he allows us to experience him in a different way. It's a lot less pleasant, but it's necessary for our ongoing development. Prabhupada was saying one time when he was sitting in Calcutta and they were dropping the bombs. And Prabhupada was saying, this is also Krishna. But he said, this aspect of Krishna is not so lovable. But still, unless we know of the Lord's supremacy, we're just stuck in this ignorance of material identification. That's useless. It doesn't get us anywhere. If we think that I'm the body and I'm going to enjoy here, if Krishna doesn't mercifully display his supremacy, then we just continue in this illusion. Dead end. And Prabhupada, in the purport, he mentions how Pallad Maharaj was aware of the Lord's power of destruction. Remember that after the Lord killed Nrisimhadeva, how many people here don't know the story of Nrisimhadeva and Prahlad? You know, Prabhuji? Yeah, you must be aware of it by now. You've been around long enough. Okay, so after the Lord Nrisimhadeva killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj offered wonderful prayers. And one of the prayers that he offered was, "My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence, and enjoyment. But I have seen that all of these, I have seen all of these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment." The realizations of the great souls. And Narada Muni also had some very valuable insights into this destructive quality of material nature, because at one point Yudhisthira's uncle, both his uncles actually, Dhritarashtra and Vidura, and Dhritarashtra's wife Gandhari, suddenly left home because Vidura had given Dhritarashtra valuable instructions in self-realization, specifically concerning the temporary nature of this material world. And he told Dhritarashtra, "Your liver is defective, your teeth are becoming loose, you're coughing up bile and mucus, you're living on the remnants, you're like a dog living on the remnants of those who you've tried to kill through arson and poison." Very powerful instructions. Dhritarashtra finally got it. I pray that I can also get it. And then they left home without telling Yudhisthira anything, because they knew that Yudhisthira would try to keep them there. Prabhupada said that Dhritarashtra left home just like an enemy who's received a good, like a warrior who's received a good lashing from the enemy. And so when Yudhisthira was lamenting, "Where are they? Where have they gone?" and actually remembering all the good qualities of Dhritarashtra, he didn't remember that Dhritarashtra tried to kill them. He was thinking of Dhritarashtra as his uncle who tried to protect them. This is the mode of a devotee. It's amazing. Narada Muni just happened, as he has the tendency to do, to drop in, literally. And he said to Yudhisthira, "You look very sad." And Yudhisthira explained the situation. And Narada Muni told him, "You're thinking these people are depending on you. You think that, but actually they're depending on the Lord. As far as any shelter that can be offered in this material world, it's only temporary." And of course he quoted this famous verse, "Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatuspadam palguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam." Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those who are devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. This concept of the all-devouring nature of the Lord's energy is very much repeated in the Upanishads and other Vedic texts. They always talk about the devouring power of the Lord. Even food devours one. Say, food is considered Brahman, one of the aspects of Brahman, and although we devour food, food devours us. Very important that we understand this. And Prabhupada says, "Although we do not directly see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can see that he controls the process of destruction." The destructive process is going on fiercely under the control of the Lord, but the atheists cannot see it. And this, of course, I remember when I was young, I probably told this a few times in class, but one of the things that really forced me to believe in some very powerful influence was that people were going on. From a very early age, I thought, they don't care. When I found out that I was going to die, it really, it really freaked me out. And I would ask everybody, and no, don't worry, it's not going to happen for a long time. It happens to everybody. I'm like, yeah, so that's supposed to make me feel better. And I remember when I was in high school, we studied Macbeth. No, was it Macbeth? No, Hamlet. Hamlet. And you know, everybody gets killed in Hamlet, right? And then our teacher was asking us for our realizations or our insights about the play. So I raised my hand, or if I had any questions. So I raised my hand. Isn't the greatest tragedy that, you know, even if we don't kill each other directly, we're all going to die anyways? He went, next question. He just completely ignored me. I really felt like an idiot. I thought, you know, as a teenager, you think, oh, I said something stupid again. But actually, I said the best thing that could have been said in that class. Of course, it had to take me a while to figure that out by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So even if death is talked about, people don't like to think about it or take it seriously or even to consider why this is imposed on me, even though I don't want it. And maybe this makes us remember something about a conversation that went on between Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Yaksha. In the Mahabharata, one time Maharaj Yudhisthira was confronted by a Yaksha, and the Yaksha, who was actually Dhammaraj, or the Lord of Religion, asked him several questions that Yudhisthira was going to answer. And so he asked him, what are the tidings of the world? Everybody know what tidings are? Huh? It means information, very important information about events, important events. And another question he asked is, what is the most wonderful thing? So Yudhisthira answered that the most wonderful thing is that although every day innumerable creatures go to the abode of death, still a man thinks he's immortal. We think we're immortal, not that we might think, we thought, yeah, I know I'm going to die, but how much do I actually know? This, how much do I actually have assimilated that understanding? How much does it influence my life? And so the tidings are that in this world, which is like a cauldron with the sun as its fire, days and nights as its fuel, and months and seasons as its wooden ladle, all creatures are being cooked by time. And the Yaksha was very, very pleased with this answer. But people, rather than becoming aware of these tidings, Prabhupada says people are very much absorbed in the sense enjoyable tidings of the flickering mundane world. That's classic, huh? Flickering. The sense enjoyable tidings of the flickering mundane world. And Prabhupada said, they should be conscious that I do not wish to die. Why death is forced upon me? This is an intelligent question. I do not want death. Just like if there is immediately some natural disturbance, I have got experience, Prabhupada says. Sometimes there was a little trembling in the front house. This was in California where they have earthquakes regularly. So there was this, the house was shaking because of an earthquake. He says, sometimes there was little trembling in the front house. People were crying, especially the ladies, screaming. And that I have seen many times. As soon as there's a big trembling, everyone becomes afraid. Now we are going to die. We have to die. So everyone is afraid of death, but nobody thinks how to make a solution of this problem. But there is a solution. It's a solution to the problem. What time is it? Is it 8:30 already? Okay. Huh? Okay. And the solution has many facets, and the most important is Hare Krishna, especially offenseless chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So today I extracted from Prabhupada's purport the different approaches to destruction by scientists, which means that they want to manipulate and they want to have knowledge of the creation and so they can manipulate it. Krishna says that destruction is him, his time, and his mission is to destroy those who, or at least let them experience a sense of destruction. Because actually, Pop said, there is no destruction for the soul. But he said, if you don't have realization of your eternal nature as a soul, for all practical purposes, you're dead or destroyed. And also the devotees, the great devotees' view of destruction, that they accepted as one of the many evidences of the Lord's supremacy. And finally, the importance of being aware of this destruction and what the solution is. Because the bad news is the destruction, the good news is there's a solution. And the solution in this particular age is very, very sublime. So thank you for listening patiently. I'll just read the verse again. My dear Lord, your absolute authority cannot be directly experienced, but one can guess by seeing the activities of the world that everything is being destroyed in due course of time. The force of time is very strong, and everything is being destroyed by something else. Just as one animal is being eaten by another animal, time scatters everything exactly as the wind scatters clouds in the sky. So anybody has any comments, questions, corrections, realizations? Yes? Right. Well, the thing is, I have some insights or ideas about that. It's like we're very busy with food because it's our survival, but ultimately we can't depend on food. And maybe Lakshmi would like to say something. Yes, yes.
So I haven't been eating for the last week. And I realized that half of my life is spent involved with food. So, you know, just time-wise, so much time is spent. And then I was talking to Vishak about it, and she was saying, how much more if you had to shop and then cook and then eat? So I don't even do those things. I don't even shop and cook. I just eat. just the eating part. It takes so much time.
Yeah.
And now that I'm not doing it, I have so much more time. So it really does devour a significant part of your life.
Very, very wonderful insight. Thank you. I always eat, so I never get this realization. But I'm getting inspired. All these devotees are doing these fasts around. Thank you. Did that help, Kanchanvali? What's happening? Let's see if someone else, Manji. Very good. The food chain, yeah. We become part of the food chain because we become food for other living entities, devoured, yes.
I was also thinking that for people who like food, then they become consumed by the act of eating because they're just into eating.
Wow.
And they, they eat to drown their sorrows, they eat to deal with their depression, whatever. So then they become consumed with the act of eating. They actually destroyed it by the food they eat, especially in this society, because there's so much garbage food. Everywhere I travel, no matter where it is, there's always junk food places. They're all the same every place, the big arches and the whatever. And people consume that, and they kill themselves.
Yeah.
So they are being devoured by what they eat, because what they eat is poisonous.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. There's a lot of realization here. And you have the... Yes, Gopal Hari, do you have your hand up?
So I was wondering that everything can get destroyed and life is temporary. So with this realization, how much does the devotee endeavor the things? In the sense that how does he sort of practically carry out his life?
Well, Prabhupada said we should endeavor to the extent that it's necessary to maintain our body and soul together, which, of course, that's a very elevated state. You just eat what you need, sleep what you need. But also there's a certain, included in that is that we have a certain level of spiritual development. So what's required for us to peacefully execute our Krishna conscious duties may be different for different people who have different levels of realization. So we endeavor as much as is necessary that is conducive for our development spiritual life. So, for instance, one might think, well, why get married? But if, for instance, even Kardama Muni got married, and the question came up, why, if he saw the Lord face to face, did he get married? Or did he want to get married? And Prabhupada said, and the purpose, because he was not yet competent for liberation. Hare Krishna. So, is that okay? Is that okay? One last thing, or should we? Kaveh, did you want to say one more thing?
You were just saying that you're saying that you say, yeah, yeah, I'm going to die, but how much do you really realize that? And I was thinking, for example, on a similar thread, that there's Krishna was on the planet 5,000 years ago, and Lord Chaitanya was on the planet 500 years ago, and I don't know if I really believe that, because I don't act like I really believe that.
Yeah.
Intellectually,
because
you see, yeah, yeah,
there
was, this is God himself
is
walking around.
What does
speak of
Prabhupada? Yeah. I mean, it's just the nature of the material energy that our minds are very flickering. So, to some, you know, to the, we've understood it and we've accepted it, but the urgency may not be as high as it needs to be for us to do what they really want us to do, which is become a pure devotee, help others to become pure devotees and get out of this material world. But that's why the whole society is there. Prabhupada said this whole ISKCON society is there for those who do not want to forget about Krishna. So that's what we're here for, to help each other, to remind each other, to encourage and urge and cajole and chastise, and so we can get that sense of realization and urgency.
When I had that surgery, it shocked me. I tell people that Chaitanya was here, Krishna was here, but I don't behave like they do.
Not all the time. Sometimes you do, but not all the time. So let's try to increase those times. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada Anuga's ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.